Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Lumo SA. Aussie-owned, made for South Australia.
Good evening, Sports Day. SA Mark Blight and David Wilde. Thanks to Keno. You can play from only $1 a game. There's a draw every few minutes. Always time for a spot of Keno. Play today, gamble responsibly. Malcolm Jack Blight, how are you?
Hi, David. Yeah, interesting day in the sporting world. David, now we finished last night, and Ted, talking about the Crows and maybe playing two ruckmen, you know, with...
Or even playing one down back.
Yeah, well, I just wondered, Ted, I had a story. Now, I bounced this off San Fantasia today just to see if it would work with you. And I said, is that a good story? He said, no, that's a great story. Can you believe that's what he said?
Well, I'd like to be the judge of that.
Well, that's what I thought. You should be the judge as being the official expert on the panel. There's a guy called Sean Wren, very good player, great player.
Number 52?
Yep. We were playing St Kilda in 1998 after beating them in the grand final. There was a guy called Peter Everett, played for St Kilda.
Spider, yeah.
Yep. He was the 1997 All-Australian Ruckman. And he was about to be the 1998 All-Australian Ruckman. So that's how good a nick he was in, right? In round 18 against St Kilda, we were just about pushing for the same spot, right? Pretty close on the ladder. And he was in great nick, Everett. And I said to Sean, look, Sean, I want you to do something for me this weekend. And that is, I want you to play on Peter Everett. Everett kicked 45 goals that year as a resting Ruckman. Pretty good. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Super. Yep. Good play. Anyhow, it took a lot of convincing. And I only spent not that long with Sean and just working about what do I do here, da-da-da-da-da. Out on the ground, just talking to him. I said, look, cut his leads, cut his angles, da-da-da. And I might have mentioned something like that last night. Anyhow, cut a long story short, he wasn't very happy. Now, but the rules were either do what you're going to do or play in the twos. Pretty simple, isn't it? They're the rules. So anyhow, during the game, Sean played on Peter Everett as a resting back pocket player and went round the ground with Peter Everett, who was in the best nick of his
Followed
life.
Followed him all day.
All day, yeah. Just put him around. If he goes forward, you go.
Yeah.
Send someone else out. So anyhow, we ended up having a very, very good win, David. I'll move along now to Brownlow Medal Night, 1998.
Round 18.
Round 18, the votes. St Kilda playing Adelaide. One vote, I looked it up today, Mark Ricciuto. Two votes, Matty Connell.
And three votes.
Three votes. Sean Wren. And I was sitting across the table from him at the Brownlow Medal, and I've just gone, yeah. And he's thrown his head back. He's throwing his hands up in the air. Three votes. He played really well. Man on man, ran around. And he was, what he was, he had a big heart, and he had a bit of speed for a big fella. Now, I've seen Riley O'Brien have a bit of speed. Somewhere down the track, that story will be told again.
Got Marco Bello on tonight. I might ask him that exact question. Could Riley O'Brien play on a rest? Like Marshall goes forward.
Yes.
No, Ruckman.
Yes.
If Paddy Ryder goes forward.
Yes.
He should be able to keep up with them. We're not asking to, you know, a big leading full forward.
No. 203 centimetres, Peter Everett was, and that's what these guys are now. Now, something else has happened in the footy world today. North Melbourne's lost some people, recruiting manager, others from the footy department. And I was going to mention that, but now we've got Troy on the line.
Not rats leaving the ship.
Yes, that's right. And he wants to ask this question. Hi, Troy. How are you this evening?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Malcolm and David. Oh, sorry to steal a bit of your thunder again, Malcolm. Now, Malcolm, I just want to soften you up first. You being a very influential AFL media person, and you being the best player that's ever played for the Kangaroos, can you give me your opinion what you think of North Melbourne relocating to Tasmania? And I don't think it will happen, but my opinion means zilch compared to yours.
No, Troy, that's lovely. There was a guy called Wayne Carey, I think.
Thought he could play a bit. Yeah,
which is probably good.
Too bad.
Anyhow.
Forgot about him.
Just on that, this is my opinion. I was asked by Colin Carter, who did the whole study on Tasmania, as he asked many other people. I thought for Tasmania to get involved in the AFL, you needed a really strong base of Tasmanian people, players in particular. And I think they should do it 2 or 3 years out so you can get some, you know, I reckon at least 9, 10, 11, 12 players from Tassie. I think that's the only way that can happen. For that to happen, North Melbourne are going to have to reduce their list, and then it gets a bit murky. So the short answer to that is probably not. It may happen, but you must add Tasmanian content to it.
You reckon Clarko will coach them?
Well, he's on that committee now, and I was on a committee once and ended up coaching the team, as it didn't turn out very well. I'm not certain that Alistair would want to go through that. Do you start, you know, with the GWS and the Gold Coast? You know, it's going to be an average team probably to start with.
The other rumour going around, it's gaining a few legs, Hinkley to the Giants. I mean, it could be just a bit of scuttlebutt, but I got rung up last night as I went home. A couple of people in Melbourne, and they both had heard that. Obviously, it was on Channel 9 and Caroline Wilson and Hutchie, and that's what you've got to say, isn't it? One says it will pick it up, and then suddenly Hinkley's going to the Giants, but I'm not so sure about that. Can I ask you on a sadder note, Sam Fisher, and I saw Nick Riewoldt, who was his teammate, talking about it, but he's in a lot of trouble, Sam Fisher. He was a very, very good footballer, All-Australian, a couple of BNFs, wonderful golfer too, played off one handicap, and he was from the Riverland, suddenly finds himself in trouble. And Nick Riewoldt came out and said, oh, look, this is the tip of an iceberg. A lot of people are falling through the cracks. Lots are falling through the cracks. Mm. You got a different idea on that, yeah.
Yeah, I love Nick's comment, Nick Riewoldt's commentary in footy. I do listen to him. I think he's quite reasoned and quite sane and sensible to what he does. I think in this regard, I think he's over the top. Now, one of the reasons why, because he's a mate of his, a former teammate of his, has fallen upon times that we would all like to see disappear in the world, let alone just in football. To say it's happening all, the whole of the football world, I think is an overstretch. I think it's a massive overstretch. What I will say is that the players have a great opportunity to earn some money, and they thoroughly deserve it, and put some away for a rainy day. Now, if they don't do that, it is no different to anybody out there in the workforce now, David. Everyone has that opportunity to save, work hard, save, and put some away. It doesn't make footballers better or worse, more often or less often. And I always use the road statistics now, or the police statistics that say 1 in 4 picked up are now
drug-related rather than alcohol-related.
Yeah. So there's probably 1 in 4. If we look at that, it's 1 in 4 in the street doing it. It is just not football. I'll say it again. For Nick Riewoldt to say it, I think it is an overstretch to what's actually happening in the football world, as I believe
it. I don't know
it.
Many that
no, are... No, neither do I, David. But, I just disagree with that. The logic doesn't make any sense if it's all about football.
Difference with your argument in regards to people having the same chance in a job is that you're far more likely to be sacked as a young man in your first 2 or 3 years playing football. If you join the bank,
I know
you don't get the money.
Yeah, that's true story.
But you're a lot more chance. The one thing I did like what Riewoldt said, I don't know if you agree with this either, but he felt they should put a bit of money away, not maybe, I don't know, let's say 5% of, they're earning big money, these players.
Yeah.
Not for the guys for their own retirement then, it's that make it, the blokes that don't make it, the blokes to help them out and maybe start them up in a, college course or do something.
No, they do all that now with the Players Association. Every club, David, looks after players like you would not believe. And, I mean, to go down that track, they still get their superannuation money for all the players that they've, all the games they've played. I mean, they are looked after better than most people I know in the world.
I think every footballer playing now, there's so much downtime, they should be doing a course.
A lot of them are, David.
But a lot aren't. And it's perhaps the ones that aren't are the ones that are, you know, getting in trouble. Let's hear from Paul Marsh. And he says the players that engage in outside work usually transition quite well.
But the players that transition well are the ones that during their careers have been active in exploring education, work placement, and what we call community activations. And that leads to sort of a more confident, resilient, and less sort of rigidity around the next phase of their life. So the players that are doing that are actually transitioning pretty well. The players that are not engaging are where the concerns are at. And I think that's our challenge as an industry, is to try to get as many of these players individually. You know, it's got to be an individual approach to start engaging in those three things. And I think that does become a challenge, a bigger challenge, as the games become more professional.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do? You've got 7 days to play footy. You can only train for so long, do your weights, do your physical stuff and have a few meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think everybody should do something.
Of course they should. Anyhow.
Even real estate, course, whatever.
Yeah, I agree, David. Just changing the subject now, because we've got Sam Fantasia in here again. He's going to do the budget truck quiz, aren't you, Sam?
I am. Get on the road faster, 13:27:27. Nice little segue there, Malcolm.
He's had a big night tonight. Yeah, might get bigger too.
What did you call it? Trivial Tuesday or Wacky been on the Wednesday?
No.
You've been on the red cordial tonight.
No.
That's why he does the show.
Yeah, that's right.
Stay off it.
Yeah.
Now, the winner gets a double pass to the movies, a Signet portable phone charger, and they go in the running to win 4 MTX Club tickets with a $200 voucher for food and beverages at Adelaide Oval. And you'll also get some Hungry Jack's
You came
on the Hungry Jack's? The burgers are better at Hungry Jack's?
Oh, I love them. Love them.
Now, we gave away the first clue last night. I'm a Woodville West Torrens premiership player who played in the forward line, and I spent time on an AFL list. If you've won before, you can't win again.
Oh, hang on. That's the second clue.
That's the second clue.
So you just flow through it.
Yeah.
No, we're just trying to help you through this new thing you're trying to do here. Just clue one, clue two.
Clue one, clue two. Yeah, I've got it written here, but obviously that's not very good radio, is it? Now, don't call up yet because I'm not out there to answer the phone. Moving house, use the team. That's easy and affordable. Budget car and truck rental, 13:27:27. Woodville West Torrens premiership player who played in the forward line, and I spent time on an AFL list. All right, I'm out.
Okay, there'll be a better clue tomorrow. Probably one that will absolutely make it certainty to get.
I reckon it's a certainty tomorrow.
Wednesday nights, they're always certainties, aren't they? Amazing how that works. Just getting back to, I like the conversation about playing the big man. When you hear, and I'm going to ask Marco Bello, as I said, he'll come up shortly. There's no reason why someone like Riley O'Brien, I don't think Strawny could do it as a gangly ruckman playing back pocket, but I think O'Brien's quite a physical
Very
beast,
similar
isn't
build
he?
To Sean Wren. Plays a little bit similar. I mean, Sean was a great player. So, yeah, I'd love to see him try. I've always said that a new coach coming in, and particularly with a young squad, you can actually try some stuff. And as I mentioned the other night, I mean, some of the stuff, Mark McVay puts Himmelberg from full forward to full back. I mean, it's try now. Do it now. Learn something about your list.
Were you a coach that made a lot of changes, or do you prefer to...
Yeah, I probably did a bit.
Did sometimes you...
No. I tell you, when we're winning, you wouldn't even heard for nothing from
nothing.
Me.
Nothing.
No, but when we're losing...
Hey.
Yeah, look out.
Oh, that's a typical Malcolm Blight. But, we're looking forward to speaking with him. Have they improved? Are Adelaide a better side this year than last year?
Not at the moment, but there's still 12 rounds to go.
12 rounds to go, but they're one worst game off, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And that 6%, which I think is important. It's one big loss.
Mind you, can make up 6% in one game.
Yes, you can. That's why it's a big win or a big loss, yeah.
Okay, plenty more to come. Stick around on the other side. Marco Bello was a wonderful player too for the Doggies. Played in many, many premierships, and he does a good job out at Adelaide. So on the other side of the break, we'll speak with Adelaide assistant Marco Bello.
Day for Kia, the all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for South Australia.
Mark Blight and David Woody for Weeks Discover Exceptional Customer Service. Weeks Homes Discover Different. This is our bit of fun time on a Tuesday. True or false, thanks to Hungry Jacks. I love Hungry Jacks. I really do like them.
Mm.
Oh, that sounds so enthusiastic. The burgers are better at Hungry Jacks. Play Uno at Hungry Jacks. 1 in 4. They've got this competition. 1 in 4, Malcolm, wins instantly. I try to pump it up.
I've had something to do with Jack Cowan, who was the original founder of the Perth.
Back in the '70s, wasn't it?
Well, no, actually, when I was working at Channel 10, he got involved in some stuff there with Hungry Jacks. Yeah.
Okay. True or false? You start.
Do you want me to start? Well, I know we've mentioned a couple of things already, but the big forwards are back in the game.
That's true. I think, and if we get Ben King back. And Harry Mackay back.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't there some good forwards all of a sudden?
Yep. Do you know what?
Tom Lynch is playing footy.
You know what? There could be a 100 goal kicker around the corner.
Oh.
Don't forget there's been gaps before in the 100 goal kicking.
Okay. True or false? Right now, the West Coast are about a team as we've seen, an AFL team, considering they've got a lot of premiership players still playing.
Yeah, they have. I mentioned that last night, I reckon, that it's a bit... I said fooey. Now, that there's another word, you could put another letter in front of that, another consonant, I think it's called. Consonant? How do you say that word?
Well, could be S starting with S and N with a T, too.
Yeah,
Perhaps with I, H-I in the middle.
Hang on, Blake will get me for that. What is it? A consonant? What's the vowels and the...
Consonant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Consonant.
Right.
Thanks, Sam.
You're right.
Yeah.
Don't second guess yourself.
No. Well, sometimes, I spell it. I say things phonetically and sometimes I spell them that way and talk about it. What were we talking about, by the way?
True or false.
Oh, true or false, that's right.
So that's true, West Coast are bad?
Yep, but I was just having a look. equally bad with North Melbourne too, almost.
I think North Melbourne are a young side coming up.
Yeah, I'll give that. Hey, my next one is Melbourne will beat Geelong's record of 23 straight wins in a row.
How many have they got now?
I think 16, Sam.
23.
I think they've won 17 in a row.
So need another six.
Need another six.
I haven't seen their I think they'll lose one. I don't know. I think they'll drop a game this year.
So is it true?
No, it's false.
Okay, thanks.
True or false, Adelaide this week will play the two rucks. We spoke about that to Marco Belli, Riley O'Brien and Marco Bello and Strawny.
Well, I gave you that story earlier, David, which I think...
Good story, too. Good,
yeah, I think, well, it's a great story, apparently. But anyhow, we'll get back to that in a
self-praise,
minute.
No recommendation.
No, someone else did. I didn't. Okay. Sam. Sam said that.
Righto.
Now, okay, yep. Now, what about this? This is a really good statement, David. True or false? Both Adelaide teams will miss September action.
Oh, it could be true. It's true-ish. Because Adelaide won't make it. The other one, I reckon, a 50-50. To quote a Malcolm Blightism, it'd be true-ish. True-ish.
Okay.
They're going to be wet on Sunday. Very wet and miserable here. Port Adelaide playing the Bombers.
Really?
Essendon will shock the AFL world and defeat Port this week.
I'll say that's false. I don't think... Because Football Park quite often gets slippery at night. We know that. And Port have played a lot of games.
Not playing at Footy Park.
No.
Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, I know. Did I say Footy Park?
Yeah. That's going back.
That's probably a bit recessive, isn't it? Is that a good word? Recessive is a good word, isn't it?
Blake, are you listening? It's going back a bit.
Is recessive the right way to say it?
Well, you're going back in time.
Yeah.
I suppose, yeah. Recess, yeah. Go back.
Did I say Footy Park?
Yeah. All right. Introducing the Kia EV6, judged Will's Car of the Year. It's leading the charge. And Lumo SA, powering local footy and fans in South Australia, switched to Lumo SA today. We're going to take a break. On the other side, Adelaide assistant coach, good lad too, Marco Bello.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for South Australia.
Marco Blight and David Wilde for Sports Day SA for Polaris. Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand, Polaris. They've got shiploads of vehicles arriving every month. Visit your local Polaris dealer today. And also Tyre Power. Think safety this May. Get that five-minute tyre safety check at your local Tyre Power. Well, Marco Bello's fronting up for us. We always like speaking to Marco. Wonderful player too for the Doggies. A lot of premierships there. But we had the question last night, Malcolm. Have Adelaide improved this year? Now, 3 weeks ago, I would have said for sure and certain, I think they're well ahead of last year. But you have the figures that are actually worse off in points.
They're a game down and also 6% in percentage, which I think percentage is important, particularly as you're growing as a football club. But anyhow, we can talk to someone that knows all about it.
Well, we disagree. I thought Adelaide won in every facet bar on the scoreboard last week, called the game, and it's frustrating, and I'm sure it was for all the coaching staff too. Marco, thanks for your time. How are you going?
Yeah, really good, thank you. Yeah, look, we're certainly scratching our heads at obviously the weekend's result more than anything in terms of the win-loss column. But with regards to improvement, yeah, we feel like we're improving. So I'm sure Malcolm will disagree and have some stats thrown my way to show that. But I think individually and collectively we're showing some improvement.
I went away at quarter time thinking you guys should have been up by 5 goals, and that's not being silly, and you were down by 2 points. What did you make of that first quarter when you review that? You had all those inside 50s, you had a lot of good looks, and just couldn't nail it on the scoreboard.
Yeah, it's probably been a pattern if we look at that. It's our inconsistency going inside 50 to give us best opportunities in the best places in front of goal. So we've probably done that a few times against Brisbane as well the week before. Felt like, you know, we had those chances again, and and that comes off, you know, if we hit those targets going inside 50, we get those scoring opportunities. That's where I guess our best defence comes from. So unfortunately our kicking boots weren't on, and good sides will make you pay for that.
One thing that looked obvious when you looked at the height in their side with Ryder and Marshall and the big fella King and even Tim Membry, we thought Billy Frampton might have come in just for one game. I know his previous two when he played weren't that good, but he's about 200 centimetres, and I just thought you're lacking a fraction of height down there to help out young Murray.
Yeah, you're probably right looking in hindsight now. And I mean, if we had gone into the game and said that we're going to keep King to 6 kicks, we probably would have taken that in the end and said, yeah, no, we'll take that. But when those six kicks obviously result in six goals, that's a tough day. But we did have a little look at it the week before, and admittedly, Hipwood and Payne aren't the calibre that currently King is at. But we thought the Bigs actually did a good job. I thought Murray probably held his own until the second half, where King got a few on him. But I thought Murray took some nice contested marks. Obviously, Doudou plays his role, being able to intercept. And Hinge did quite admirably on memory as well. So, Bill would have been a handy addition, but again, take nothing away from those tools that were in there.
Marco, last night we got a call from Luke. It was a really interesting phone call. He talked about two players that are on the list, Chase Jones in his fourth year and Darcy Fogarty in his fifth year. And he made the comment, and he wasn't being destructive. He was just saying, we haven't seen a lot of improvement. Where do you think they are at their football career? And in fact, David and I discussed it. And just to give you some idea, I'm sure you've had internal discussions. You always have internal discussions on players. But I actually put Chase Joan at 4.75 out of 10. Going to halfback, he's been better. Not perfect. Not consistent all the time. And Darcy, I've got, and David, we discussed it, at about 4 out of 10. You'd love to see them get to 5 and just even 5.5. Where internally do you think they are?
Yeah, look, we're in agreement there. There's no doubt that both of them have talent and probably at this stage haven't put it all together, as you said, in their fourth or fifth year. But what we do know is, as you touched on with Chase, his ability to go down back now. So he obviously came into the side initially as a midfielder. Hard to find his way in there. And then we've obviously taught him how to run off half back, how to use his attributes from the back line. And I reckon that 4.75 is an increase maybe from the 4 the previous year or yep. whatever it was
yep.
Leading into that. So in terms of progression, it's probably not at the trajectory that everyone hopes, and it's always upwards in a steep curve, but we need to ensure that these guys are learning and improving, and we feel like it's happening. And Darcy's another one that is probably a little bit... as a forward, you need obviously the ball movement coming in nice and easily, as we touched on RE the St Kilda game last week. We're not making it easy for him. Admittedly, he needs to compete harder. He knows all this, that that one-on-one football now is probably going to get harder and harder, and sides are going to work him out. So, we'd love to see Darcy and Chase and the guys, who are now in their fourth and fifth year really, really step up over this back end of the season and in all account, hopefully going forward.
Mark, I just on that rating system, I mean, I used to do it all the time, to be perfectly honest. And you've got to be a 5, don't you? You've got to be a 5 to maintain your spot on a list and going forward. Do you still think the same? I mean, we all get beat. It's how bad you get beat and your good ones and all that. But you reckon you've got to be a 5 to start with?
It really depends on, what your rating obviously is. And it's obviously, being able to get a kick of the football, no doubt. It's your ability to win the one-on-one contest. We highly rate, obviously, the ability to play your role. And a lot of it with Darcy, you probably don't see, astute punters like yourself, you would look at it a little bit more closely. But, obviously, the guys in the outer and watching Darcy and going, well, he's not kicking goals, he's not taking the marks, but what he is providing is those, one-on-one contests where he's not getting outmarked, and it is a soft drop and it allows those smalls to get into the game. He's providing those contests down the line, probably sometimes undersized in terms of height, but again, making a contest. If we use the football a lot better, and that's our aim, obviously, I think Darcy, starts to shine, and that's where his real attributes of kicking goals and taking those marks out on the lead and being able to use the skills, the beautiful skills that he has, starts to come to fruition, and that, starts to become a 5.
Marco Bello, our guest for Taipower. Tell us where Miller is. We get more questions after a game and during the week with Blighty. Why isn't he playing? But Malcolm saw him play a few weeks ago, and I asked him how he went. He said, he's just okay. Like he should, but he should be dominating when the Crows reserves are dominating. He's a classy player. Now, is he working hard enough, Marco? Like, I think he, a fit Wayne Miller is in your best 18, but what are we, round 10, round 11, he's played one game.
Yeah, no, and that's fair call too, but admittedly, I never missed 2 years of football, so I don't know how long it takes to really get back into the hustle and bustle of AFL football. So in terms of numbers that he provides, he is back to the numbers that it were pre-injury a couple of years back. So his output is certainly at the level. He's working hard. It's just not, you know, in terms of numbers, it's not accumulating possessions at this stage. But his work rate is there. We know when he does get the football, the silky skills are still there. So, yeah, look, we're in the same boat there. We're looking to get Wayne up and about. And again, this back half of the year will be really important for him and us going forward.
Mark, I know you're not the senior coach, and obviously the last decision rests on his shoulders, but you are head of development. Now, it was really nice to see Riley Thilthorpe back in the team. You know, probably a little bit underdone. We get all that. But as the coach, if Matthew Nix a person that comes up and says, Riley, and you may or may not have heard this conversation, but can you guess it? You've got 4 or 5 weeks. We're just going to play you for the next 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, I did that to a lot of players. You weren't sure about young players, just to give them some confidence so they don't feel, you know what it's like when you're a young player, you always feel as though you're under pressure to keep your spot. So has Nix, do you know, has Nixie done that with someone like Riley Thilthorpe, we think is going to be a very good player?
Yeah, and the issue, I guess, that we find ourselves in, and previously you would have done that, Malcolm, where you've got the young fella next to probably a 200-gamer and a 150-gamer, and, you know, somewhere around there is, you know, multiple 100-gamers. And what we're finding, obviously, is, you know, we're a very young side, so you get a Riley in there, and with Tex, it's terrific, so he's got that leadership beside him. But then you put him against a Rochelle, who's now played 6 games, you know, McHenry, who's played 20-odd, a Murphy, who's at, you know, 40-odd. So it's a very young side, and we're probably trying to do that with a lot of the players. And without a doubt, Riley's got the talent, and, you know, he got a couple of hiccups previously, 2 weeks ago with the knee, and then obviously health and safety protocols that didn't allow him to come into the side over the last few weeks. But we saw, obviously, on the weekend what he can do, and that's all we're looking for him over this next period, whether that be 4 games straight, as you said, or the rest of the year. And we also do know that, you know, the young bodies do get sore and get bashed around a bit. Yep. So until he acclimatises to that, it's probably not until 30, 40, 50 games. And, yeah, you hope they're sooner rather than later.
Malcolm played David Pittman and Sean Wren in defence, and the query came up last night again. Riley O'Brien, we think he's better than Sandfall ever. When can you play the Strawny and O'Brien together? And is a possibility, if you had a really tall forward line against you, is Riley Bryan athletic enough to go with a big tall forward?
I think so. I mean, we saw, obviously, on the weekend, Riley did dominate SANFL level. And like you said, he's probably better than that. And so I thought Strawny was admirable too against two bigs. Against St Kilda, so it is an interesting conundrum whether we can play the two, and I think at some stage we'll get to look at it. You know, it's going to be interesting going forward with you know, where Riley does fit in, O'Brien this is, and can he play alongside a Riley Thilthorpe in the forward line with a Tex, or can they play a different position? I've seen Strawny obviously play forward as well, and had a stint down back at SANFL level, so it's not out of the question. It's again, how many changes can we make where we're trying to figure out what our best side is too? So we need to make sure we're not just doing it for the sake of as well.
Yeah, that's very true. Hey, look, I tell you, just on a positive note, I thought Jake Soligo, you know, I thought that was his best game. Just got a bit of the ball, used it okay.
Well.
It was a nice little game for him.
Yeah, I'm a big rat for Jake. He's obviously come in year one, and I did a little bit of work with him over the Christmas period because we were staying around the same area. And he's just a footballer, really. He understands the game. You don't have to teach him the X's and O's so much. You tell him once, and he's got it. In terms of his physicality, although he's, you know, only 180-odd centimetres and, you know, 75, 78 kilos, he really cracks in. He's got great awareness around him, and ball use, as you touched on, Malcolm, was at the level. So, you know, if we can find a few more like him and Rochelle, and, you know, there's Dan Curvis, who's a first-year player who's showing some really good signs at SANFL level, together with, you know, Cooks and Scholl and Will Hamels. So there's some great young players coming along, and at some stage will all click for us.
Just in a general footy question, you know, I mean, there's a lot of hullabaloo about umpires and free kicks and too many. I don't know what's too many. How many are allowed to have? You know, is there a quota on free kicks? I always find that funny. And they say, oh, they paid too many free kicks. Well, how many's too many? But anyhow, just your opinion. And I know sometimes you've got to be a bit careful in your role as a coach and obviously at a football club. But I don't think it's too bad. The biggest problem now, this is not just a personal opinion, because of the congestion in the game, there is far more tackling and more collisions in the game than there's ever been. So there's going to be more free kicks because there's more of that.
There is, and I'm one. I mean, I umpire the games when we have our intra-clubs or we have the training sessions, and it's a difficult thing to really focus on and see. There's so many numbers around there. There's you know, the ball is flicking around so quickly, and you think you see something, and then all of a sudden, oh no, I've got the wrong angle on it. So I'm in admiration really of what the umpires are going through and how difficult the game is to umpire. So you know, as you said, whether it does open the game up a little bit more, I know we don't like to see, as a fan watching, you know, the umpires constantly blowing their whistles and finding free kicks. But if they're there in the end, they're there, as you said, Malcolm, whether it's 15 apiece or whether it's 30 to 15, it's something they're seeing, and generally, I think they get it pretty much right.
Love Josh Rochelli. He picked up a beauty there, and he didn't miss in the early rounds, Marco, but he still gets chances, but he has been missing lately, which all forwards can do. But does he need a rest? Can he wait for the bye? Will he play this week? Or what's a solution for the young fella?
Yeah, like I touched on with Riley before, he's come out of a year prior to this where it was COVID interrupted, didn't play much football. Although he's thick set and he looks like a man already, you know, he's still only 18, 19 years of age, and he's getting bashed around. Like you said, he kicked some goals early, so sides have started to go and put a bit of work into him. So it is a long-term thing for us. Obviously, risk-free reward this week, whether we push that. He's one of those kids who wants to play football all the time, and sometimes you just need to say, slow down a little bit. He'll need to get through training tomorrow. It's a little bit modified for him, so in the end it'll be selection committee, whether we feel like it. Again, that risk v reward is warranted.
Now, I know the club, I mean, recruiting is very important in any club, and I guess it's not your role, but, I mean, you do observe this. Jordan Dawson's been a really good pickup. He's got lovely hands. I love the way he can mark. Maybe you could use him somewhere else too. He's a beautiful kick, we know, and he can test the ball as well. So it's been a terrific pickup. Another couple of those over summer, mate. They'll be great.
Wouldn't it, Malcolm? Yeah, absolutely. So, no, again, similar to what I was saying about Jake Soligo, he understands it, he gets it. He's, you know, very strong overhead, and as you said, we'd love to play in all three lines if we can. And there's some real talent there, and thankfully he's at the Adelaide Crows now.
Big game this week. Geelong doesn't get much harder there, Marco. Keep up the good work. Thanks for answering some of the harder questions. And, yeah, let's hope you get back on the winning track. It will be hard, but the back end of the season, it'd be nice to see a few more wins.
Appreciate it, David. Pleasure to talk.
Marco Bello there, assistant coach for the Adelaide Crows. Yeah, it's tough when you're... I mean,
I mean, you've got to answer all the questions. I mean, that's part of the role now, isn't it, of all the coaching group, obviously the senior coach, the whole club, and... I mean, the whole club loses, David. Everyone just thinks it's, you know, this segment or the playing group, the coaching group. The administration, the staff, the whole lot. I mean, it just loses. But, David, I want to ask you something now.
Yep.
How would you like to win $5,000 cash?
Malcolm, I'd love to. Cash.
Because you've pointed this to me and you said, for your chance to win, just head to icanwin.com.au and enter your details. All thanks to My Money House. Remember that?
$5,000
My Money House, empowering people to live life on their terms.
You should be reading more ads. That was brilliant.
No, I think you're the best at that.
You were really good then.
No, look, I think I'm in the B grade. I'm in the reserve grade. Maybe the interchange bench, David. You're A grade with that.
Back with more shortly.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned. Made for South Australia.
Mark Blight and David Wildy for Weeks Homes. Discover different. Discover exceptional customer service. This is one of our favourite parts, Blighty. The Kia Top 7. You should be on cue there, introducing the Kia EV6.
Unanimously judged Will's Car of the Year. It's leading the charge. There we go. And the Kia top seven, my first one, number seven, is Charlie Curnow, 6 goals, is back at the Carlton team, making a massive difference to the team.
Like it. He might come down to mine a little bit later too there. But my number seven was the year of Clayton Oliver, consistency and brilliance. I think he's he'll win the Brownlow medal. I know you're talking Cripps, but he's best every week. So he's my number seven.
You're kidding.
No.
Guess who's number six for me?
Clayton Oliver.
Clayton Oliver. Fair. He's now leading the coaches' votes and probably will win the Brownlow. That's very good.
Hey, great minds think alike.
Yeah.
My number six, and I think the return of Hawthorn against the odds to beat Brisbane was a great effort. You look through their team, not a lot of stars, but they played for Mitchell. Mitchell's playing a better brand of football. They kick goals. I thought it was a pretty good effort.
I like Sicily. Told you him back would help him. He's a terrific player. Hey, my number five is Max King's also kicked 6 goals, and he's becoming a real threat to every team in the competition.
You love the tall forward. Yeah. He might get a mention in mine a little bit later too.
Oh, you can't say that.
He's a different one. He wasn't brilliant, but there were signs, and you mentioned it to Marco Bello tonight, just earlier, about 10, 15 minutes ago. Jake Soligo, I think, a great pickup. He's in the 30s as a draft. Yeah. Thought he played really well. Yeah, not only is he seems to be a common sense footballer, tackles well. He's not the biggest guy going around, but really impressed with his game.
Yeah, no, good call. My number four is I was sitting watching the Port Adelaide Geelong game last week with Patsy, my wife, and, you know, I'd taken interest in obviously Geelong and Port Adelaide, and I thought this is one of the best games I've seen Dan Houston play against all the odds.
He's brilliant, wasn't he?
He got votes too. He along with Jeremy Cameron, were equal voted by the coaches. I'm really surprised.
Man on man. Too. Yeah. No, he was really good.
He was fantastic.
This one you will like. I should get a drum roll for this, but Sam's not listening, so waste of time. The return of the torpedo. Harry Himmelberg and Jeremy Cameron. The first thought I thought of was Malcolm Blight. They're both about 20 metres short of your kick. But you would have loved that. You would have been watching in the chair with a biscuit and a cup of tea and said, how good is that?
So where did you put that in the Kia top seven?
That's my number four.
You're kidding.
I wanted the right in the middle.
No, Dave.
I wanted the highlight.
No. Well, you just better keep listening to my Kia top seven.
That's not in yours,
is it? Come on. You just better listen.
Oh, I said to Sam, that's one of my better ones I've come up with.
Number three in the Kia top seven, Mark McVeigh's first start win for the Gold Coast, for GWS, was a really nice start for him.
Yeah, I could have coached that, though. I don't think it was that great.
Okay.
BWS, beer, wine and spirits, or you say GWS?
GWS.
Oh, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
We know what he meant. Well, I'll just flip over my number three, Max King, tall forward. Great to see the forwards back.
Oh. My number two, get ready, Jeremy Cameron's torp at three-quarter time. Great kick against Port Adelaide. So I made that number two.
Not over yet. Yeah. What drama here at Princess Park. Malcolm Blight, it's a big kick. It's a mammoth kick. Wow.
I think Himmelberg's was longer though, wasn't it?
No.
Landed outside the square.
He ran 30 metres from the goal line.
That's all theatre. My number two, Carlton Mosquito Fleet, together with the brilliance of Charlie Curnow. And the way Michael Voss has got Carlton playing, I thought Sydney were good things last week. They beat the Swans.
It's about five different things you had in that one little paragraph for the number.
I'm trying to justify it.
Okay. My number one, listen to this. You're not going to believe this. My number one in the Kia top seven is that
Melbourne
Simon Goodwin continues to be Coach of the Year.
Well, I might as well waste I got Melbourne keep on keeping on. So
you had that for number one.
Number one. Well, they're unbeaten.
Yeah.
Unbeaten. I thought my Cameron Himmelberg was really good. Really good.
I'm glad you put Melbourne up there. Because you know what everyone overlooks? When the really good team gets going, they're a pleasure to watch, obviously, and all the parts go, because it doesn't happen for very long, I can tell you.
You can't be your best every week. They weren't brilliant last week, Melbourne. They still won, though, didn't they?
They did.
8 or 9 goals.
Yeah, that's a really good tier top seven. We had a few similar.
From navigating open roads to wrangling uncharted tracks, for 100 years, Repco's been driven by passion. Good night tonight. Enjoyed Marco Bello. It's always tough when you come up after a hard loss, but we spoke a lot about the players and where they're heading, where they're going, who's in the reserves, And hopefully they can get back in the winning. It won't be easy down the Cattery. You've been there. Not easy to win there.
No, mate. She's a skinny, gutted ground, and a lot of people leave there gutted.
What's for dinner tonight before we go?
We've got pork fillet.
We've got lamb shanks.
Oh, I like the... Well, gee, well, that's nice too.
I better shorten the goodbye. See you, Malcolm.
Bye, David.
Sports Day for Kia, the all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for South Australia.